I think we ourselves find encouragement and a reason to grow in God's word.
Okay. All right, continued growth and encouragement. Seeking continued growth and encouragement. Seeking continued growth and encouragement. And anybody else? Or I'm going to work off of these things. All right, Araceli?
That you are supposed to be a disciple first.
Yeah.
Before you help somebody else or bring them into.
Right.
You have to be the doing and right. Believe what you're doing.
Right. Right.
With the Holy Spirit.
Right. And that was on the last one. Be a disciple first. Now I want you to think on these things. Remember I said, let me just ask this. When's the last time any of you have considered not only what you think John David needs to grow in, but what is your plan to help me grow in that area with that? When's the last time you've considered her or him in here and what encouragement and growth looks like in their life? Remember, I've said I think we are not tied to the head when we encourage one another, because I think we ask people how they're doing and look for how they think they need to be encouraged, as opposed to looking and saying, God, how are they doing? What do they need to hear to be encouraged? Remember, encouragement doesn't mean making somebody feel better. It's helping them get back on the road that they need to go, helping them for where do they need to go? Where do they need to go? They need to follow Jesus. Remember Dever saying that a long time ago? I can put that video on again, but I'm trying to push forward through it, all right? Remember he said, what should churches be filled with? Okay, that people following Jesus and then people helping others to follow Jesus. What did follow Jesus mean? That you asked him into your heart. What does that mean? I took that apart with the youth group the other night. I said, well, be careful about that. All right, you think you asked Jesus into your heart, you still may not be his. What does that imply? What does that live like here? So remember what I said, that with the pyramid, if everything you said is the tip of the pyramid, okay, what would that take? Like, let's see. I'm going to go, Ellie, let it go back. I took a picture, but it's, all right. All right, so making sure you yourself are a disciple. We've talked about that other times, but, let's work on that, all right? What is underneath that assumption of making sure that you yourself are a disciple? Okay, trusting God. When?
All the time.
When were you not trusting God this week? And then you go, well, I don't know, I'm trusting God. Well, we're talking broadly. A disciple is a follower. So we're talking about when you weren't following. What would you need to continue to follow? So what do you think? So trusting God, all right, up here, and making sure you're a disciple. I need a disciple, trust God, all right? What else does that include? What else are you thinking, Tracy?
Well, I think we need to be in the Word and then be obedient to what the Word says if we're going to be a follower of Christ.
Okay, so in the Word, okay? So we talk about that. Often you think about that with parenting, okay? When is a kid naughty? You go, well, I don't know. That's just them being a kid. Just being a kid. What does that mean? I didn't ask if they're just being a kid. I asked, when are they being naughty? You go, well, they're only naughty when you had to, I don't know, raise your voice, when they broke something and you told them not to. Well, how about we say, you say, well, they should be listening to your word. And you go, yeah, I know, but don't get so picky about it, okay? All right? Well, so you think, remember, in 1 John, it's saying that that those who love God keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because they value his word. He says it, they respond, right? So you got to think back to this, and I got to think on this. When reading the Bible becomes something obligatory for us, when you have to squeeze it in somewhere, when you find that other words stick in your head more than his words, all right, then you realize trust is going to include other things, right? Trust, we trust him. That means we are in his word, okay? We're seeking to do it. But see, as you build this pyramid, what else is included there then? If I'm talking about sloppiness with his word, then what else is included? Okay, I've got to add that. Obedience is underneath there. Jim?
If my reading was right this week, it might be easy to forget to be committed to God when everything is good, when I have everything we have, what we need, this and that. It might be more prone to trust God when things get bad if we're a committed Christian. But this is talking about all the time.
Okay. All right. Trust God all the time, not just when it's bad. All right. Trust God. But she said trusting God. We're defining that also as trusting God, meaning staying inside his word. Remember I said with a kid, they go in and out and in and out. And you go, we had a basically good day or it was better than other days. No. It's that the word got lifted up, that they were, speak, Lord, your servant listens, right? Samuel with Eli. Okay, was that Darren? Vanya, go.
I think in order to be a disciple, there needs to be an understanding that you need to be discipled. That sounds kind of obvious, but it's very hard to disciple someone who thinks that they have it all the answers, and somebody that just understands that they need to be taught and that there's a need and there's an emptiness and that they need to be led.
Okay. All right, and all right, so all these, I'm trying to put them all together, so let's just put this inside of the pyramid of the you need to be a disciple yourself. Before we get to discipling others, thinking if you need to be led and taught, if there's two people speaking, you're always the one yielding, right? It's him. You're yielding to him, right? So you go, but I thought, wait, he's speaking, right? Habakkuk. So, right, I'm going to sit on my watch post and wait and see how he will reprove me, right? So Habakkuk has his thoughts, remember, but that's what we're working on Wednesday night, about how is Habakkuk, Jeremiah, Moses, others who question God, what did they have different than how we question God? What did they show? And so he's saying inside that pyramid is just that mentality that I'm the one that needs to be corrected, I'm the one that needs to change, okay? That has to be rooted deep inside of us first, okay? All right, Pastor, and then Sandy. Was that you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, the need was mentioned, but see the unworthiness and have a desire for a change.
Okay, all right, a disciple. See, that's why I said a long time ago, somebody in here makes the best mashed potatoes. You know what that means? All the rest of you, I don't care if you like yours better. Yours aren't the best. Theirs are. And if there's something inside of you that goes, so what? So what? I like mine fine. Just, they're not better than me. They got other things wrong in their life. Yes, but their mashed potatoes are better than yours. Okay? You know, there has to be a sense of a need for change. I don't care who makes the best in here. You're not the best. Forget about potatoes, anything. You don't have the best, somebody has the best ears in here. They're not the best, right? And you go, well, stop. But we're asking identity issues here. A disciple, then, is acknowledging a place. We're talking about humility, right, which keeps coming up all the time. Humility is not in relationship to each other first. Humility is in relationship to our Creator, right? When you say you're unworthy, see, you'll say you're a sinner. I'll say I'm a sinner. I'll say, good, let me tell you 10 of your sins. And you'll go, good, I'll tell you 20 of yours. See, we usually don't say that. We think that. We feel that. If somebody dares to say it, you say, go ahead, tell me my faults. I can handle it. Really? Really? Now, we got to be careful with all that, but I told you, if I'm going to wait for everybody to be humble and love me, you know, I'm pretty cynical on human love. Because why am I cynical on it? Not because I don't think we can love, because I don't think we have a big enough view of God. Love is from God. As we grow in our understanding of God, that changes our view of love. When I talk about love, I'm not talking about what I want with love or you want with love. I'm talking about what he wants with love. Okay, so if I'm going to wait till people love me, I'm going to miss out on a lot of God's tools to be able to tell me something. So I'm going to have to be able to be loved by God enough to have somebody who doesn't love me like God tell me something that might be wrong and it might be right. Can you let somebody who doesn't love you like God tell you that you're wrong? And think on it, not in a way that you're shredding them, but you go, they might not be right with everything, but let me think. And especially if you can see an attention to God, a fear of God in other areas of their life, a sense of unworthiness, and not in a groveling way, but a sense that I need to change. All right? All right. But this is before we even go disciple making. See, that's why I said you need to be working on. Do you think I want to change? You go, well, John's hard to change. I didn't ask that. Do you think I need to change? Then what's your role in my life? You go, I don't know. He wouldn't listen anyway. I didn't ask that. I ask, what's your role in my life? If you're going to help me to grow. You go, well, I don't know. You'd have to ask. You'd have to show you're humble. You have to. You going to wait till your kids show they're humble? You're not my kid. Go make disciples. See, before you can, you got to do that. But you're right. The first thing is to figure out what is all entailed in being a disciple. Remember leadership books that I read years ago? A good leader is first a good follower. You've got to learn how to change roles at the drop of a hat. You're leading here, you're following here. You're leading here, you're following. What is leading meaning? Leading means influence. It's not a position, it's influence. You're influencing here, all right? And you're being influenced over here. So, what? All right, where is it? Sandy, what are you thinking?
So, when you asked the question about where have you not trusted God this week?
Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking, we all don't trust God at times. Even the disciples had their weak moments of not trusting God. So that does not make you not a follower
totally.
Of Christ. But so in being disciples to one another, we need to point each other back to
That's
God.
It.
And we forget that. We're in this world and things overcome us and all of a sudden we're weak and we're forgetting to trust God. So part of being a disciple is pointing each other back to Christ and meditating upon him rather than the worries of this world.
Part of disciple making, all right, is teaching people about who God is. Much of disciple making is reminding them of what they have been taught. That's why I told you. If I'm so, you know, pastors are messing up all over the place. I think because we've made people leaders that we shouldn't. Maybe I'm a leader and I shouldn't, right? If you care about God's name and his kingdom, you'll want your pastors to make it for God's sake, okay? Well, then for God's sake, you don't just prop them up by saying everything's perfect. On the other side, you realize there's a million things going on that you're not seeing. How do I get in and be a part to care for a soul, all right? This is for a preacher, all right? But then that's what a preacher's doing back with the people. Wait, Ephesians 4 said the pastors and teachers were equipping the saints for the work of service. And what were they going to do? Vacuum the church? You bet they'll vacuum. But that's a subset of them equipping the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And what does building look like? Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What will that look like? As a result, we will no longer be tossed, right? By every wind of doctrine. Well, what doctrine means, well, I think, well, I don't care what you think. Yeah, I know, but I don't care what you think. Where'd you get that? It's none of your business. It is our business, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects to Him who is the head, even Christ. And what does that look like? It's not just growing in knowledge, right? The goal of our instruction, 2 Timothy 1:5, is love from a pure heart. Help me, in a good conscience and a sincere faith. I think I messed the order up. Good conscience and sincere faith. I am concerned, 2 Corinthians 11, that as Satan deserved Eve, that you will be led away from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's it. Devotion to Christ. Back to what Araceli said. It's simply trusting Him in a way that you continue when it's bad, you continue when it's good. And like Sandy said, we're not talking about you let me down. We disobeyed His word, not your word, not my word. We disobeyed His word. What is she going to do? Point me back to His words. Remember what He said. You're out of line, John. Remember what He said. There's a way back. That's what you're going to tell me, both of them. And then humbly you're going to realize, this is what I see. Am I missing something else? But this is where you need to be looking. Are you looking? You're not the judge, jury, executioner. Individually, as part of the whole, remember, discipline is rooted in discipling. We don't discipline as a whole because we're not discipling. So you know what? But you know where we are disciplining? Individually. That's what we've said. There's no church anymore. There's churches of one. You know what that means? Individually, we determine when somebody's gone too far and we go, that's it. They're done. I'm done with them. Individually, we turn people off. No. The church says, you need to change that or get back. Individually, we need to be careful. What are we doing? Is there a way back? Where's the mic? Go.
Yeah, recently my wife and I watched a film about building the Eiffel Tower. And the way they did the foundations, because the soil was very marshy, they had to block off the area that each big pillar was going to be. And then in order to keep the water from seeping back in, they had to force air pressure into the blocked off area so it can meet the conditions for pouring the concrete and letting it be able to dry without the water creeping back. And that seems to be a bit of what's going on with discipleship making, is we have to identify areas that need to be strengthened, and there needs to be things that keep getting spoken into that problem area while the work of God is being done in order for it to solidify and take hold. So there's this constant replacement going on of the right things in order for the foundation to get solid. That it's not just a simple one-time thing and it's done. You have to identify it. You have to pump out the bad stuff. You got to keep the right stuff coming back in order to form the foundation, even in order to provide the environment for it to become solid. And that's what it seems like discipleship making includes, some of those aspects.
Do you hear that? What do you know? See, instead of looking, this is that whole thing we're talking about roots, not fruits. Not what you see, but what is the foundation under which you see? And when you go, well, I see this, which means that this is wrong. And you go right to the bottom without looking at all these pieces. I was going to ask Nicole to come up with a PowerPoint triangle like that, because I want you to think about what happens if being a disciple includes trusting God, includes trust, it includes God's words, it includes obedience, it includes acknowledging that I need to change, It acknowledges, it includes listening, right? I don't know. Think about three other things. What happens to following Christ if you're missing one or two of those things? What happens? What? You get off the road, you might make it, but you're going to be fumbling. Your engine's going to be missing, right? If something's going to be out, right? So, what happens if you're missing all of them? And you go, you need to follow Jesus. Well, they need to learn to trust. I don't trust anybody. Well, how are you going to help people follow Jesus if they don't trust anybody? Well, now you got to put trust up here. What trust is up here? What's involved with trust? Just humor me for a few minutes. What's included with trust?
Well,
yes, go. Okay, so if trust is up here, that there's something larger than my circumstances, right? That's part of this pyramid, right? Here's trust, right? So if I don't believe there's something larger than my circumstances or someone, then I'm never going to trust, right? It's like, I thought you were okay, but then this happened and you didn't come. You said you would and you didn't, so therefore I can't trust you, right? Instead of realizing, well, maybe there was something bigger going on than that circumstance that I see. Yeah, they weren't here, all right? We're going to talk about that as we're going to look at Paul. As one of the letters he writes, he spends a whole lot of time telling them why he didn't come to them. Remember? And they think that he left them and didn't care about them. He pleads with them for a long time with that. So in order to trust, you'd have to believe there's something larger than circumstances. You have another piece? Under trust.
Trust means stepping out, stepping forward. It has to include action. We have the concept of what is faith versus trust, everything. So I have trust based on past. I've got this whole sea of
right.
time for God's proven himself. So I can continue to step forward
right.
because of it.
Right. Okay, remember I've told you that time we were on that high ropes course, and I'm scared of heights. Remember I told you that? I couldn't stand it. I feel like I'm old, like I've been in youth group forever, right? And I get up there, and I go, I'm scared. They all look at me like I'm crazy. And then number two, they go, you always tell us to do hard things, so you have to. And it was like, you don't understand. I'm going to get a heart attack. I'm going to die. Then you'll believe me. And they're like, it's like the serpent. You shall not surely die. It's like, you don't know that. You don't know how I feel right now. Right? And they just went on. Like, of course you're going to come. And if you don't, John David, I lost all faith in you. Right? And you realize I had to act. I hope some of it was looking to God. I think a lot of it was eating your pride. It's just like, all right, here we go. I'm going to die. But see, let's go with Jesus to Jerusalem and die with him. They were certain about that. He's going to die. So if we're tied to him, we're going to die. And then they finally go, we got to go. And they didn't have the right perspective, right? But she's saying, do you hear that? Trust, something bigger than the circumstances, and action. You will have to, I don't care how you feel. You have to act. All right? Can you put anything else under there? There's 20 things. But can you do anything else? Because my whole point is when you go, you're not trusting Jesus. What are you asking them to do? Can they do that? They're missing these blocks. You don't even know what the blocks are. You're just looking at the top. Do you have, Ellie?
Having faith and surrendering.
Okay, so what she's called surrender means, and that's what I just described on that high ropes course. I just waved the flag. You know, sometimes, you know, that's where you get, I'm old enough, I don't have to prove anything. Yeah, that's true. Other times, when it's with God, you don't get to tell him that you're old enough. Remember? He's eternal. Your little 80 years is nothing to him, right? You just do it. Caleb style, right? Give me this mountain. right? At the end of his life, he takes it back. You just do it, all right? So surrender means, back to what Vanya said before, that being a disciple means it's implicit that he is the one teaching, you're the one following. Yeah, was that? Oh, yeah, go, Sheldon. There you go. Did you hear that? When you don't trust, you... No, I know. No, I'm thinking, one, how many times to tell you the same stories. Two, how to encourage you in it. It's a messy battle to get immersed in discipling others and realize you're being discipled yourself by God as you disciple others. But I got nervous. I don't get nervous just when people yell at me and it gets rough. All right? Maybe it's me, maybe it's them. I don't know. That's all part of it. I get nervous when somebody smiles and goes, here's all these books back that you gave me. I'm doing okay now. Sometimes they give me the pile back. Sometimes they just smile and say, it's all better now. I thought, you don't need anything else. You've kind of chosen another path. It isn't about getting it all from me or from you. It's that there's a process together of us encouraging one another day after day. And all of a sudden, the shades go down and people back up. And I hate that little smile that says, it's all good. It is all good. There's no, thank the Lord, it's all fixed. Is it? You stop in that thing. You stop asking for advice. Darren? Right.
Of Jesus. It doesn't say we're supposed to wait till we're perfect to make disciples of Jesus.
Right.
That also means that those that are discipling us are not perfect either. And that, they're going to have issues.
Right.
So we need to be humble enough to think about, to take what others say to us and consider where they're coming from.
Okay. I had somebody this week that just said, I said, what are you looking for? Advice? Just somebody to listen? The next step? And that person said, I just needed an outside perspective for my own thoughts. Be careful. We're not saying get anybody's outside perspective. I'm very concerned about who we go to. Because even while we say that we just want an unbiased thing, we tend to, I mean, come on, I love working with the youth because they hang themselves regularly. You ask them these questions, we've learned what happens when you answer the questions honestly. Somebody gets deeper and deeper in, and often we don't let people in. They just answer. And I said, promise me that when you want something from your parents, you haven't thought through which parent to ask. Just kind of like the nearest telephone. You just turn to the nearest parent and say whatever's on your heart. Do you ever do that? I was like, they're like, no way. No way. They want to be wise because, of course, they've thought through something. Of course, it's the right thing for their life. So they think through which parent is as wise as they are. Right? That's what they're doing. Right? And so be careful when you go, I just want another perspective. Don't tell me who I'm going to go to. On the other side. And that's where I said, we're not going to get to this here. This is where the youth group's going. In 1 Corinthians 12, when it says, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, you need to think about it. Where will the eye tell the hand, I don't need you? And then it says, but he placed each part in the body as he saw fit. You know what that means? There's people that you think are not part of God's plan of helping you to become more like Christ, that he decided are part of God's plan to help you be more like Christ. We didn't say they're all right. We said they might be part of God's plan. You hear what Darren said? Stop. When the first thoughts that come to your mind are the five things wrong in that person's life, all right? You do need to judge whether they are seeking to live under God's word. And to that extent, it doesn't mean you don't listen to the rest of them, okay? Remember, Jesus said, even the sons of the Gentile, or the pink sky at night, that one, he says, even those outside the kingdom have some wisdom more than you guys, all right? We are saying, though, that as you're looking for people who fear God, not people who are like you, but fear God more than you, Are you willing to consider what they're seeing that you're not that you're not hearing? Okay? And there's, yes, communication. But Jesus is telling us things that are eternal. You're not going to get it. Why do you expect to understand everybody? I can't talk to you because I don't understand you. No. No. Go ahead, Linda.
Sort of on Darren's thing. I feel when the time comes when I'm talking to someone about the Lord, I feel that God is testing me as I'm talking to that person, to seeing that I'm saying the right things. And I just feel he needs to put me in my place sometimes.
Right.
A lot of times my mouth talks before my brain thinks.
Right.
And he...
Right.
Allows me to talk to people that don't know the Lord, that I need to see where they're at and to bring me to attention, kind of, to say, oh, what are you doing wrong that you should correct?
Right, right. You know when I finish with most of you guys, you know I go for something with you. And so I expect kickback. There's probably only 4, 5, 6 people in your life that actually want to change something. There's other people that want to change something, but they don't bother pushing into your life, right? But when I walk away from you guys, I'm usually thinking, why did I say that? I hope they don't remember this. In fact, I pray that. Lord, help them to forget that. God somehow, I think, laughs and goes, that's the part they're going to remember. And but at that point, I have to think, where do I get my identity? Is it from you or from him? Because I can't fix. If you've judged me to be wanting, and maybe I shouldn't have said it. Back to what Darren said. See, so many of us don't bother getting involved in this because it's a can of worms. It's a can of worms. Once you get in, I remember talking, I said that to Tim 15 years ago. He said, John, if I ask the questions, I said, just ask why 3 more times. When you normally would have just said that's their own business, ask why. Just go, what do you mean by that? Just ask it 2 more times. He said, if I do that, things will never be the same in that relationship ever again. Once you've bridged it, and whether they give you something or they don't, you can't get back. You're there. And at that point, we ask, wait, what are you doing? Making disciples of yourself? Remember Paul Tripp in Quest for More? Where are you civilizing people to live in your kingdom rather than to live in his kingdom? Are you civilizing people? Are you teaching people the rules of your kingdom? If you talk to me like that again, we're done. Or are you saying, don't talk like that about him. Let's keep back to Sandy. Let's keep looking back to him. Okay? It's teaching. It's you are growing. You're a disciple. When you're making disciples, you're first a disciple of him. That's what determines whether you keep going or whether you say, I love Jesus, but the church is a mess. Yeah, church is a mess, but you're part of the church. The church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not different groups. It's all those who are truly born again. Then God is working in them, so you work in among them under him. You deal with him. You get forgiveness from him for your sins, whatever happens with them. You get restoration from him. Whatever happens with them. Here, is there another thought, and then I'm going to move on. Yeah, go, Tracy and Pastor. Yep, sorry.
Thank you. What I'm hearing you say, and which sounds like it boils down for me, is speak the truth in love and be humble enough to accept it.
Yeah, yes.
Basically.
And yes, no, it definitely is that. And remember, I'm going to go back to saying, maybe we could admit we're not ready to hear it as honestly as we want. That's what I want. When you go, ooh, that was too much. Do you have enough to say that was too much? Now let me work through that so I can continue. See, that would show you're under Christ. When it was too much, and then you pull back and go, I'm not hurt, I forgive you, and then it's like, no, we can't get anywhere with each other again. You could say, no, please give me space. I want God to work so that we can continue this relationship. It It's on me, all right? Whatever you did wrong, it's on me that I'm can't think straight, that I'm a mess because of that. Give me time. See, that would be showing you're under the head rather than they created the problem. Back to what Araceli said, all right? So because we all say we need to look to God, we need to ask forgiveness, we need to, but we're all seem to be crippled by what circumstances do to us. Pastor, what were you going to say?
Working down the pyramid.
Yes.
Trust.
Yes.
Circumstances.
Yes.
Take action.
Right.
Moving down. What? Learning to rest. Learning to rest.
You hear that? You think of that with any of you guys that have little ones, all right? So my brother said his kids were doing better sleeping through the night. Well, he's getting slammed at work right now. And now he goes, and neither of the kids are sleeping again. So you go, well, you should have, you should have, you should have, you should have. All right, but sometimes you go through all the shouldas, and it's like, they're just not sleeping. What do I need to do? You know, and can you rest in the meantime? Well, then, you know, I think I asked somebody in here how their little one was doing. They go, they're doing great at night. They sleep all night, but their daytime naps are only 30 minutes or whatever. But see, the kid doesn't have any problem with whatever they're doing. When they feel like crying, they cry. When they feel like sleeping, they sleep. Right? They go on. They don't just think, if I do this one more time, I think my parents are going to put me back in that basket at the hospital. Right? They ain't thinking that. And you look at the kid and say, let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't stop. No, you don't do that. Because the kid trusts. They're part of the family. Right? They're part of the family. You say that's absurd to be able to do that. Remember, I thought it was crazy the first time I saw that return bin at the hospital. And there's arguments about that return bin, about whether that's helpful or not. You know, so you don't abort your baby, don't kill your baby, don't neglect your baby, don't whatever. Just return it anonymously. But if you're going to trust, you have to be able to rest in the middle of the process. Forgiveness is a long process. I don't think you're lying when you say you forgave me. But then something happens and you realize, ooh, it's still there. Well, then you've got to work through it again. Where do you got to work through it? With me? No, with him. If I sinned, I sinned against him first, not you. You took, it was when I slapped you across the face, all right? I wasn't honoring God who told me how to treat you, right? You go, no, you weren't honoring me. Well, who's the center? You or him, right? Forgiveness is first the vertical thing. The sin is against him. Other than that, I'll make my own rules. Your face said slap me, so I did it. Right? That's I'll make the rules. But if he makes the rules, then your problem that so the same thing. If somebody sinned against you, you look to him for justice. You don't look to me for justice. You're not gonna get it. I'll say I'm sorry. You go, you don't mean it. And you own me for life. That's the worst thing you can do to somebody is never give them away to freedom. Never. Never. And if you've been chained by somebody else saying they forgave you and they won't, you say, what do you want from me? And if I do that, will it be over? It's like blackmail. Not with God. See, I don't think we trust him with that. But here's where I'm going with all this stuff, all right? Was there another thought? And then I'm going to... Yeah, go. Go.
Okay. You mentioned about the worms, okay? And it is important that we all have worms, but they have to come out in order to be cleaned up. And then we can understand each other better and accept each other as a disciples and as a members of the church so we can grow all together.
Right.
And I want to feel like in here that all of us will grow that way by trusting God.
Right. If you have the humility to realize something has to come out, what has to come out for you to with one voice glorify God in here? What has to come out? Now, some of you have an idea what that is, but what happens if God knows something you don't know? As he's looking, you're the tip of the pyramid, here's underneath what it would take for you. Remember Romans 15:6? So that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, right? And you go in there, God who grants encouragement grants you to be of the same mind with one another. And he talks about the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hope to what? Be of the same mind with one another. And you go, it can't happen. Something has to come out. All right, are we done? Yeah. All right, John. And then I want go to Colossians 1 while we're doing this, because I've got about five verses that I want to go to. We could talk about this forever, but I want us to see that if you don't think through the pyramid, you're looking at the product here, and it's not happening because you're not working on these pieces underneath. And you go, I can't do it. It's impossible. God wants the fruit. Yes, but all these pieces are part of trust. You say, you don't have to think about this. Yeah, okay, well then just trust and obey. Or back to what Tracy said, just speak the truth in love and be able to humbly receive something. Okay, fine. But if you can't, we're going to have to look at why. We're going to have to look at why, and that's all part of the process. John?
Learning to recognize the signs. I remember that year that our yard got torn up by grubs.
Yeah.
The first couple of patches, we could tell because the grass was visibly dead.
Yeah.
But after that, you started getting really good at just saying, this, rake this up. There's grubs under there. We got to get them out. So learning to see first in yourself, but then translating that as you work with others to seeing the signs of where decay is starting, to see signs where struggling is happening, being able to follow up on the initial, I belong to Christ, I'm going to serve Christ. If we're going to make lifelong disciples, there needs to be a constant cultivation. So looking for signs of decay or falling away from Christ is making sure is how you can make sure that they're going to stick with it.
Okay.
Cutting it off.
Okay. Are you okay with people watching over you, looking for signs? Looking for signs. See, you cannot say you're a sinner and then say, why are you looking at me? All right? There's always going to be signs. There, was there something? Okay, then Colossians 1, all right? Look at this. Give me a fresh screen and just say Colossians 1 and 2. All right? I'm going to just start on verse 28. 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete, mature, fully developed in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Let me just stop there. What do you see there that's involved with disciple making? What's included?
A struggle.
See, think on that. See, I use me, but you know my prayer is I do want somebody to care for my soul, Pastor John. You see my eyes when I'm talking to you. Some of you think it's rude, and maybe it is. When I'm talking to you after church, I'm not just talking to you. I'm watching everybody else in here out of the corner of my eye. Might be a busybody. I'm not God, so I admit I'm not doing it right. But I'm looking for who's being cared for, how they're being cared for, where they're heading. During the games Thursday night, while other people were leading, I was running around, watching. I knew some of the dynamics that were going on that other people weren't realizing, and I was trying to put together some hurt feelings and some sense of injustice and things weren't right, and I'm whispering. Other people were annoyed that I was whispering, and I thought, there's soul work that needs to go on here. You have no clue what just happened here. All right? It's a struggle. Sandy? Clear that. You got the next screen there, Ellie? Throw it up. All right, go ahead, Sandy.
That our striving is through his power, not ours.
Okay.
That we depend upon him.
Okay. Evidence of dependence in the struggle. More and more, Susie's like, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? I said, sometimes I'm talking with you guys at home. I'm having conversations with you guys that haven't happened. Some of them will happen. Some of them won't happen. And increasingly, who are you talking to? Just praying, honey. Just praying. I go back and forth from talking with you guys, my kids, my wife, my head, and then I take it back to... We aren't two conversations away from getting this stuff fixed. This stuff is bigger than just you and me, and you and her, or you and him. There has to be something that's coming from God. Prove to me that as you struggle with me or her or him, are you struggling with anybody in here? Prove to me that in that struggle, there's signs of dependence on God, because whatever needs to happen is bigger than you or I. Prove to me. What else do you hear in here? Jim?
To do the work.
What Paul's trying to do is motivate us to do the work.
And the same book that you're promoting, which I highly recommend, it's a whole section on denying ourselves, and I struggle with that.
Which book?
Quest.
Quest for More. Yeah, denying ourselves.
Oh.
All right. Motivating them to do work. Work of building. Of building. Encouraging. That's what I'm looking at. Is as churches shrink, as pastors disappear, right? I maybe you're hearing it too. It's not just for me. You're hearing the average age of, and it's not just pastors, not just nurses, not just doctors. I keep hearing the average age of is going up, all right? I'm looking beyond and going, where does it go? Where does it go? A healthy church is a healthy church. You need healthy leadership. I got that. But a healthy leadership is healthy leadership. That's not a healthy church. So it's one thing to, quote, help somebody, but if you're not careful, you're so busy helping somebody, you're not building a healthy church. A healthy church is God's means for helping others to grow with that. Is there anything? Daisha has the mic, then Stan.
Well, we all love ourselves, and that means that we're not having the common goals and identity. And if we're busy loving ourselves, then we're going to be actually tearing apart the church, especially when we're on the side of being discipled. We're so busy, you know, destroying the person that's trying to help us, and we aren't thinking that, you know, they need the love of God too, and maybe they have something I need, but maybe they need something that I have. And we're so busy building our own kingdom that we can't be building what God is building.
What we use to protect. Because you have to ask, where's his fight? Why does he have to fight? We're going to show that as we look at a couple more passages with them. Okay. What we use to protect, defend from being discipled. From being discipled. I found sometimes the hardest part is getting in and then staying in. You ask why I go on with you? I know. I wish you'd be honest and say, hey, we need to pick this one up, but I got to go right now. You say, I tried and it doesn't work. All right, we'll work on that. But you try to be honest. But why do I keep going? Because I'm afraid we're never going to get back to the point that we're at right then. And we come back to it, you'll either have forgotten it or swear it never happened. You don't want to be back in there again. It just happened right there. Okay? And then stand and we're done.
It points us to Christ himself. The whole goal of discipleship
yes.
isn't just changing behavior. It's
that.
It's to reveal the truth
that.
And to bring us to Christ himself as as kind of the reward. It's the fulfillment of the mystery. And so discipleship, if you will, is just uncovering more clues pointing to the end goal in a person. But then the other thing is it prepares us to be able to protect us from wrong teaching, which is also covered in that.
Protect.
In other words, the more we know Christ himself, the more we'll be protected from bad doctrines.
All right. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know what that means? What you listen to or watch on YouTube is our business. Now, I think Sheldon and I have talked about this. He goes like, well, I think this was a men's fellowship thing where he was saying like, well, I'm not looking for there to be more rules, but, you know, and that's what he's saying. He's going, something has to be done about this. I'm not sure how to do it. I've seen how it's done wrongly. When if anybody's afraid of anything, it's like, well, there's a rule for that. 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 What's basic is to protect from wrong teaching means we got to be willing to be examined. Say, yeah, this is what I was studying. Yeah, I like this person. Yeah, it would take a lot for me to not trust this person. I don't know why I trust this person, but I do. All right? It's just being able to say that and then realize there's so many voices. All right, we've got to stop. But here's what next week I want you to look at Galatians 4, 13 to 20. Galatians 4, 13 to 20. I'll repeat these, anybody after if you want. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Hebrews 10, 22 to 26. Hebrews 10, 22 to 26. 1 Peter 1, 17 to 2, 5. Okay? Galatians 4, 13 to 20. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Hebrews 10, 22 to 26. 1 Peter 1, 17 to 2, 5. And if we're bored and we have nothing to talk about, we'll look at Acts 20. Okay? And then just saying, what we're trying to do, I want you to remember that pyramid thing, because I want you to realize there's more than what you're looking at. You're right. We need to get this. You're right. When you hear me say, no, the roots, not the fruits, you're showing fruits every day. So it's not like we're getting rid of the fruits. We're just trying to say we need to find out what's driving that. Because we want Christ to be driving. Lord Jesus, would you work this in our hearts? Little bits at a time. Would you help us to work through so that we care to be part of the discussion? We care to think through this? Then would you help us to do something with each other? Part of that will be, I don't know, sometimes we're grumpy about it. Sometimes we think it should go a different direction. Sometimes we're convicted about something. Lord, would you help us? Help us to take this up with you and slowly show that you are a good head of the church, that you are sufficient, you are working, your word is trustworthy. And would you help us cynical people, us independent people, to learn to trust you so that we could learn how to care for others that we don't trust. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen.